When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. Now, here's Justin Fielder, Derek Stafford, and Tyler Schaefer.
Hello, and welcome to the Husker Cuzcast Sports Show. This is a Herd at Sports podcast. Justin here along with the cousins, Derek and Tyler. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Husker Cuzcast for all podcast updates and more. Tonight is our Iowa reaction episode, but more importantly, it is our season reaction episode because the year is over, guys. Wow. 12 games finished. Nebraska lost to Iowa 13-10, ending Nebraska's chances and our chances for a bowl game. Guys, year went fast. Tyler, what did you think of this year?
It's just damn depressing, guys. I mean, I know, Justin, you don't like the curse thing, but I can't explain it. It's the fact that we ended up losing the last three games of the year the way we did. The fact that we had four chances to win a game, final possession, ending on an interception. The fact that we went undefeated in October for a winless November, only the fourth time we've done it this century. Which is, we've had a lot of bad football, but we haven't had a lot of winless Novembers. It's just the ultimate gut punch.
Derek, your thoughts on the season ending? Like, it went by fast, right?
It did go fast, and it's unfortunate because I love my football and I love my Huskers, but it's over.
And is it golf season yet? Let's just be.
I'm ready for that too. But look, we're going to have to sit here and win the offseason again and try and see if we can't add to our championship in that season. So,
yeah, we'll have to find a team to latch on to for the bowl season also. Yep.
Well, it won't be Iowa.
Same old song and dance there. I mean, shoot. So again, Nebraska loses to Iowa 13-10. It's a game that we feels like we've seen before, so we're not going to spend a lot of time talking about this Iowa game. We're going to get into the meat of this, and it's really our 2023 season reaction. We're going to do some position group grades. We're going to do some name some MVPs and best win, worst loss, and some others. So that's going to be fun. That's what we're really looking forward to. But Tyler, you were in attendance for the Iowa game. It was a cold day, cold day in Lincoln. So, talk about the game day experience.
Well, it was cold. No doubt about it. I mean, you could see it watching the field. It seemed like Iowa and Nebraska, probably more so Iowa, really struggled with the cold. But I've been in colder games than that. Definitely, you dressed warm, had a little bit of whiskey before. It was a very palatable experience. You know, the fans were ready for the bowl, man. They really wanted it. I thought it was a lively crowd. It filled out nicely for the day after Thanksgiving because you never know with those Black Friday games. And it's the last game in front of 80,000 people in Memorial Stadium history. And that's how it ends.
You and your attendance with Trev Alberts. I mean, my God, you're still not letting that thing go, huh?
I sat there. They flashed the 396 sellout, and I'm thinking, man, it's going to be depressing for the 400 sell having 50,000 people in attendance.
Oh, my God. Here we go. Tyler, what kind of bourbon are you drinking tonight?
I am drinking Woodford Double Oak.
Okay. I got Woodford myself here. Nice. was going to pour a glass of Colonel E.H. Taylor for this episode, but muscle memory got me, and I had already poured my Woodford Reserve. So I was like, damn it. Derek, what are you feasting on tonight?
Just some Miller Lite.
Just some Miller Lite. All right. So your overall thoughts on the game, Derek?
I mean, can we say kick in the nuts again?
That's like the motto for this year for this Nebraska team.
It really is. Our offense was abysmal. I mean, we had 10 first downs. I mean, 75 yards rushing. How terrible is that? We did. I mean, we had 189 yards passing, which is probably one of our better games passing, I guess. But just 66 of those came on Jalen Lloyd's touchdown, our only touchdown of the game. You had a missed field goal. You had, I mean, it just. In a game that you have two blocked field goals,
yeah,
you have no business losing that game, and yet we found a way to do it.
It felt like in the fourth quarter, I mean, especially after Tommy Hill, after he intercepts the ball, we have 30 seconds left. It just felt like we were destined just to go 20 yards, kick a field goal to win it. We, you know, continue the streak against Iowa, two in a row. And, you know, and then we're celebrating all weekend with a bowl. I mean, it just felt like that was going to happen.
It really did. Like when Hill got that interception, I was like, oh, this is it. This is the redemption of the whole year. And we pissed it down our leg.
Chubba Purdy might have thrown his worst interception of the year. And he's had some to choose from. But that one was bad. That one, yeah. Tyler, what were you thinking in the stadium and after you saw that? What was the crowd reaction?
Well, I mean, the interception, stadium blew up. Oh, my gosh, we got there. Then you see the questionable holding call. The refs got booed. And then, you know, Purdy runs out of bounds. And then that interception. And then I'm sitting there and I'm talking to people. I'm like, man, they Iowa still needs to come up with a big play. Like, I mean, I was like, they still need to. And then they gashed us up the middle for the longest run they had all game. And it's like, okay. And then I saw they brought out a new kicker. There's a new kicker on the field.
Yeah.
And about as bad a kick as I've seen. If I didn't see Tristan's kick earlier, I'd be like, that was a really terrible kick. And it just, like, drifted just far enough to clear it by a yard and a half. And I wasn't even sure he made it because I was in the North Stadium and they kicked it into the South. I was like, did it make it? I mean, there was like no velocity on that ball. It's just.
He made it.
It made it.
Derek confirm. He made it.
I mean, I would love somebody to say, like, has that scenario, you get an interception with less than a minute left.
That's like 30 seconds.
But to turn it back over with under a minute left, to give up a field goal, like, I mean, two interceptions in the final minute just doesn't happen. And I was prepared to lose in overtime.
To make it worse, Tyler, you kind of alluded to this, but we give up our biggest play of the game, or at least our biggest rushing play of the game, whatever. And it's just been the story of this defense. Like, this defense has been great. Until it matters. And they just always give up that one play when it matters most. And it's killed us a lot this year. And I'm not saying that it's their fault we've lost all these games, because they've clearly played well enough to win at least 10 of these games.
No, I mean, you're right, Derek. And again, it's just, you know, we'll talk about this more at the season recap. But the thing was, is, you know, we had a really good defensive day to that point. I thought Chubba Purdy was playing some overall good football there. And I'm sitting there thinking a moment like, man, I mean, you know, he's looking good. He had a couple turnovers, but still running, you know, effectively and throwing the ball pretty well. And I'm like, okay, we got some things going here. We can out Iowa. You know, they are kicking the ball out of bounds. They are making some mental mistakes. And then that late interception, I'm like, hey, it's changing, guys. The times are changing. And it wasn't.
Nope.
It's very defeated. I mean, very defeated day for Nebraska. And the thing that sucks the most about, I mean, the most, but one of the things is because of the Scott Frost era, like, the fans, we're just tired of games like this. Like, I mean, like, there was a time, do you guys remember 2015 Mike Riley? Like,
oh, yeah.
Where we lost all those really close games, and you sat there off the heels of Bo Pelini and said, you know what, at least we're competitive. You know what, we might be beating ourselves here, but that's not so bad. Nebraska fans are different now. We're tired of losing games we should win. A close game does not count anymore. And that's not fair to Matt Rhule, but this was a perfect example. It's just, we're tired of this shit.
Yeah. Derek, I just want to correct one thing. You know, that wasn't their Iowa's longest play of the game at the end. They did have a 53-yard run at the end of the second quarter.
Okay. Sorry.
So
Tyler had mentioned something about being the longest run, too. I kind of went off what Tyler said. But I didn't pay attention. Whatever. Okay, so it was the second longest run of the day.
Yeah. So, all right. I don't know. I don't feel like talking anymore about Iowa. It feels like we've done this episode for the last 6 years. So yep. I'd like to get into the 2023 season reaction, if that's okay with you guys.
Absolutely.
All right. So again, we're going to do position group grades. We're going to start off with offense. We're going to go through defense, and we'll finish up with special teams. I mean, this offense has got to be fun, right, Derek?
Oh, yeah. So before we get into grades, can I just talk about how bad this offense was?
Sure.
All right. So I went back and looked. This is the least amount of points we scored, which was 18 points per game. It's the least amount of points we scored since 1968, when we scored 15 and a half points. And our record was still 6-4 that year.
All right. 55 years ago. Okay.
All right. Rushing was much better this year than last year, so kudos to that, I guess. We improved in some area. Passing, this is the worst passing offense we've had since 2003 under Frank Solich. He only had 1,422 yards passing that year.
What year was that?
2003.
Oh, 2003. Jamal Lord.
Frank Solich's last year. For total offense, again, it's the worst total offense we've had since 1968, where they only had 2,792 yards to our, where we had, I mean, we had 1,000 more yards than they did in 68, but.
Per game, yeah.
No, I mean, for the whole year. 1,000 yards for the whole year. And turnovers, this one I was a little shocked on, because we had 31 turnovers, and the last time we had more than that was 2012. We had 35. So, I mean, but it shows you how abysmal this offense really was. I mean, I had to dig back a long ways to find stats as bad as what we had this year.
Yeah, I can't make sense.
So when you get my grades, you'll understand where I'm coming from, I guess.
I really think that we're going to be very similar in these grades. I really do.
And I expect that. I mean, there's no question that this offense was just atrocious.
All right, so let's get into it here. Derek, why don't you take it? We're going to start with quarterback. Your grade.
All right, I went with a D+. They have way too many turnovers, probably cost us too many games. The only reason I went with a D+ is they accounted for 40% of our rushing yards and 44% of our rushing touchdowns. But passing, when they had 1,631 yards passing, that is just terrible.
That's all quarterbacks combined. That's crazy.
And we had 10 touchdowns to 16 interceptions. Just insane. I really kind of wanted to give them a worse grade, but since they were decent at running the ball, I had to bump them up a little bit.
Okay, Tyler?
I mean, you could just rinse and repeat what Derek just said. I mean, this was, you know, it's easy to be hyperbolic in situations like this, but this was the worst quarterback play that I have seen in my lifetime at Nebraska. I can never recall seeing a worse quarterback play. I also gave them a D plus. It could have been lower. I couldn't negate all of the rushing and all the production on the ground that they did. But I mean, when you look at the turnovers, when you look at the inability to throw the ball, I mean, there's only been one or two times I can think of it this bad of an ability to throw the ball. You know, the interceptions, the turnovers, like everything, like I feel like I am being a very nice, very good Husker fan, giving him a D plus because that grade could have been a D or D minus. It was a bad room.
Yeah, I went with D looking at this group. You know, think how long or how far back it really is with like Jeff Sims. Jeff Sims was starting the year off, right? And he choked. He sucked. He was bad. And Henrik Harburg, he comes in and he starts winning some games, looking good. And there's like, all of a sudden, there's a little bit of like, you've kind of felt good at the direction of that quarterback room, right? So when we did our midseason grades, you know, you kind of felt good where that room was really headed. And then it got to a point where Harburg just started regressing. You know, he had like this 3-game skid. He gets dinged up. Jeff Sims has to come back in for during the Maryland game. Jeff Sims does what Jeff Sims does, turns it over. And then here comes Chuba Purdy. Leads a 90-yard drive, only to end with an interception at the end. But you kind of felt good about where the quarterback room was at that point, right? You kind of liked where Chuba Purdy was, at least for me. I felt good about moving forward with Chuba Purdy. And then Wisconsin happens, we lose, and then Iowa happens. Just wasn't clutch enough. Just he has his moments, just like all the other quarterbacks, whether it was Jeff Sims or Harburg. They have their moments, but they also had flaws, major flaws, turning the ball over. And so with that, I can't give any more than a D, because how many episodes have we talked about, especially trying to become bowl eligible? We kept saying we're a quarterback away from being really good, you know, and in this case, we got to see all three quarterbacks, and all three had their moments, but let us down. So
I will say this. I disagree with that statement that we're a quarterback away from being good. We have a lot more issues than the quarterback right now.
True. But I mean, if we had solid quarterback play, we would damn sure be bowling right now, and we would be happy. We would be happy.
Maybe.
Would we be Iowa good, like as 10 wins? No, probably not. But could we get 7 or 8 wins? Definitely. How many games were lost based off of pure quarterback play? I mean, I can think of 3 right off the bat. Minnesota, Iowa, Maryland.
It's hard to argue, but the offense as a whole was just not good.
I know, but had we had a better quarterback, we would have won three games easy.
Sure. I mean, if you would have had a game manager, if you would have had an efficient game manager that could have been just didn't turn the ball over. I mean,
or even as much.
Well, sure. I mean, the turnovers were just absolutely insane. I mean, the quarterbacks accounted for, if I believe I got this right, 29 of the 31 turnovers.
Is that right?
I had Jeff Sims having 10 turnovers, Harburg 11, and Purdy with 4.
Okay.
So that's, and we're about to get to the next position, but do you remember the first game when Anthony Grant fumbled it? And he went on a milk carton the next game. Like, and our quarterbacks had 29 turnovers this year.
So, see, and how many turnovers do we have total? 31? So I thought Anthony Grant had a couple. Ethan Nation had one. Garrett Snodgrass, another.
Are we sure we only had 31 turnovers?
Well, that's what I'm wondering, because the math isn't adding up here. Because I know that there's been some other turnovers.
That's what CFB stat has. Now, I don't know. I assume they count all turnovers. I don't think they count
special teams different.
I don't think they count special teams different. So,
I mean, you may be right with 31, but I don't know about the quarterbacks accounting for 29. I guess that's what I'm saying. Because I do believe the 31
it's definitely up there. I mean, they're definitely still 80% of our turnovers.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean,
I'm not going to say that's all but two.
And that's probably lowballing it.
But your point is correct, Tyler. I mean, whatever those numbers are, quarterback play, there's a lot of turnovers. So, as we look back, we've seen all three quarterbacks play in meaningful time this year. Who should have started game one, Derek?
I get that hindsight's 20/20 and everything, and I don't know. I'll stick with Jeff Sims. Like, he was supposed to be the guy. He was the guy that everybody wanted to see. He was supposed to be better than what he was. So I don't know how you really say you're going to go with anybody other than Jeff Sims going into game one.
Knowing now what you know, you're still rolling with Jeff Sims game one.
I mean, no, probably not. Well, I would probably roll, but I don't know. Look, I don't know. I guess I'd probably roll with Henrik Harburg, I guess.
Wow. Okay. Tyler?
I would say this. On the Jeff Sims note, it is apparent of the many missteps that Nebraska has taken over the last decade. He was a miss. The fact that they let him, I don't know what practice looked like. And to Derek's point, maybe give the coaches a benefit of the doubt that, hey, even knowing what we know now, we didn't see this during practice. We don't know that. Because if you just look at like X's and O's, like what he delivered, I mean, there is an argument that he is was the best quarterback in some capacity. I mean, he had the best completion percentage on the team.
So according to Gary Sharp, he was on the Hail Varsity show, their weekend show, and he was talking about, it has come out that the Jeff Sims issues, the turnovers, the fumbling and interceptions, has been a thing from spring ball to fall camp and even in practice.
Yeah.
This is not a new thing. It's being released that that was Jeff Sims. And they rolled with him.
And that's probably true. And I think there was a lot of rumors around that turnovers were a really big issue. So that's why I can't go Jeff Sims. But I wanted to defend Derek a little bit there, saying like, maybe it's not crazy Jeff Sims. To me, it's Chubba Purdy. And now the Chubba Purdy thing is a little bit of an asterisk because you are led to believe that he had a groin injury to start the year that was limiting his capacity. With that said, what I saw on the field, I think he was the best quarterback. He had the most passing yards per game. He had the most yards per completion. He looked the most competent back there, just passing the eye test. He had the most rushing yards per game. And again, obviously, some of this is, he had a couple games, but I think he went against some of the toughest defenses we faced all year with the back half, namely Iowa. So I think you look at the teams he did, the way he looked, just the eye test and some of the stats to back it up. I think Chubba Purdy should have been the guy.
Yeah, I agree. He definitely deserved a lot more first team reps, especially during the season, instead of running the scout team for as long as he did. I mean, I still go back to that the decision in the Maryland game where Harburg gets hurt and the coaching decision was to bring Jeff Sims in. I firmly believe this. Had they brought Chubba Purdy in earlier instead of let Jeff Sims come in, turn the ball over three times, we would have won that game easily. Well,
so I don't know. Maybe.
Easily.
But what I will say is this, Justin. A lot has been made about Satterfield. Should he be fired? Yes or no? And a lot of people have said, and I mean, he certainly didn't do a great job. But one thing you would say is Chubba Purdy, what we saw last year was not this Chubba Purdy. And maybe it was injury last year. I know we dealt with injuries last year. Maybe that derailed him more. But he clearly took a step forward this year.
Huge step forward.
Yeah. And so I don't know. you know, coaches have game film on him. They had game film on Jeff Sims. You know, I think if you looked at just the game film, you know, Jeff Sims looked like a better quarterback than Chubba Purdy last year. But they had the hindsight of practice, and they could see that, hey, maybe Chubba Purdy has gotten a lot better, and maybe he does have a little bit more command. Because, yeah, I ultimately do think that, to me, that he should have been the guy right off the bat, start the year, and maybe you just don't know how much of that injury is the reason why he wasn't that guy, but I don't know. Maybe season's different if he gets all those first team snaps in the spring and in the fall.
So I want to nitpick one thing here that I hear a lot about Chubba Purdy and even Harburg. I hate the fact that they're called young quarterbacks. Even though they're listed as sophomores today, in this COVID era, the COVID era is just terrible for football. Both these guys are in their fourth year of college football. I just hate when they say that they are young guys. But yeah, Chubba Purdy was playing like he's a fourth year college football player.
And well, let's not go too far. I mean, Chubba Purdy, he went 0-3 in, I mean, I guess 0-2.
Yeah,
0-2 in his starts. You know, he I mean, didn't light the world on fire by any stretch. I mean, only three total TDs. I mean, I don't know.
There's a long off season to talk about, but the thought of him coming back next year to lead the quarterback room, I am okay with. I'm on board with it.
I'm okay with Harburg too. I would be. I think both of them have earned the right to compete for the job in the spring. I think that's
a separate conversation that we can have here later. But yeah. Moving to the running back, Tyler, take the running back. Your grade.
So I'm going to go B-. And guys, I mean, Anthony Grant and Emmett Johnson both played a majority of the season. They both ended the season by averaging more than 4 yards per carry. They both showed the ability to run the ball. I already talked about the fact that turnovers really weren't an issue with that group of all the issues we had. I think Anthony Grant only had, whether one or two fumbles of the year. I'm starting to think you're right. He did have two fumbles. I think the Illinois and the Minnesota game. But overall, that wasn't a concern of that room. I think they played well. I think that the stats, the reason why they don't correlate is more about play calling and game design than what that room actually contributed. I think they did a good job in run protection. And again, we talked about this earlier in the season, but losing Gabe Irvin and Ramir Johnson was a huge blow to that room. They were playing well up to that point. So overall, I give them a B-.
Derek.
I went with a D+.
D+?
Yeah. They only accounted for 51% of our rushing yards. And that was all the running backs combined. And you could talk about Gabe Irvin and Ramir Johnson getting hurt, and it did hurt this room, yes. But for all four of those running backs to only account for half of our rushing yards is terrible. They only accounted for 38% of our touchdowns.
Do you have the what percentage of carries that they had? They accounted for. Do you have that on you?
I don't.
Okay.
But I mean, it was 120 for Henrik Harburg and 101 for Anthony Grant alone.
You definitely didn't see the big.
And then Emmett Johnson, I believe, had 90.
That sounds right. Around 90. I mean. You definitely
it's not like they didn't have carries. They did nothing to impress me at all.
Yeah, I mean, I went with C+. I mean, yet again, we had a quarterback lead the team in rushing attempts, yards. The running backs, they weren't impressive,
which is a knock on this on these running backs, because the staff didn't even trust to give them the ball.
Well, you know, I remember headed into the year, I felt really good about this running back room with guys like Anthony Grant. Anthony Grant, he took the biggest drop. I mean, from last year to this year, he wasn't even the same running back.
I wanted to go back and look at this, but I was running short on time. Anthony Grant ended up leading the running backs with yardage with only 413 yards. And at least back to 2009, which is far back as CFB stats goes, that is the least amount that a running back has had in a season in that amount of time. So go back to 2009. Every year we've had at least one running back with more yards than that.
Yeah. Your D-plus isn't crazy because I was thinking like maybe C or C-minus. I did give them an edge because I did see some promise out of Emmett Johnson late in the year. I think that Emmett Johnson, I think he is probably the future at that position.
And I tend to agree. I tend to agree with you there.
Yeah.
I just would like to have seen more out of him. I mean,
maybe that's
not fair because we didn't give him a lot of carries. Hell, even in the Iowa game, I think he only ended up with 11 carries.
Yeah, I mean, the overall decision to rotate the backs the way that they did and not utilize them more, I gave them more benefit of the doubt in what I saw.
But isn't coaching part of this grade? Because to me, that's...
Yeah,
I put coaching as part of this. The fact that the coaching didn't trust him enough to leave one of them in told me something.
I mean... Yeah, I mean, you're right. Coaching is part of this equation. I guess to me, I look at Barthel. I mean, you're right. Anthony Grant did regress mightily this year. I thought Emmett Johnson
showed up. Was a pleasant surprise. But he had 411 yards.
Yeah, I mean, you're not crazy. I think they showed a little bit more. Maybe I'm being generous with that B minus.
Maybe I'm being a little crazy because the expectations of this room were just sky high because we were like four deep. We were like, three strong deep.
Yeah.
We're the fourth one that we thought would probably be okay. And none of them took the reins and ran with it. I get there was injuries that depleted it, and that part sucks. But that happens to every team. Maybe not to the extent it happened in Nebraska, but it happens to every team.
All right, let's move on to the wide receivers. This is a group here that was decimated bad by injuries. You had guys like Isaiah Garcia Castaneda. He got eliminated early, as well as Marcus Washington. Before the season, Xavier Betts decided to say, peace on out. I'm not playing football. And some other injuries. Billy Kemp, he was taken out for a little bit this year. He was knocked out. Just not a great year in the wide receivers. It felt like we had a little bit of promise headed in the year, but those injuries came. And boy, this room was in shambles. Derek, I'm going to stick with you for the wide receivers. You're great and why?
All right. I'm going to go D minus. It was a group that I expected more out of. I expected a lot more out of Billy Kemp. I understand he had a little injury issues. He ended up with one touchdown and 310 yards. That's abysmal. Again, we only had 1,600 yards passing. The passing of this team was just terrible. It's not all on the wide receivers, but the wide receivers didn't do a lot to help the quarterbacks in getting open. The only reason I didn't give him an F was because of Jalen Lloyd. With his three touchdowns on his limited amount, he only had six catches, and I think he had 260 yards receiving, which I think was like third on the team. Like, that was pretty impressive. We at least had a deep threat after, but hell, it took us, what, eight games to find him?
Yeah.
Marcus Washington only played six games. He had our fourth most receiving yards by a wide receiver with 176. And the fact that Billy Kemp only had 310 yards and he led the team in yardage is just, it's piss poor and it's terrible.
Had to rely on a lot of young guys, you know? I mean,
we did, but you didn't see a lot of progress out of those young guys. Like Malachi Coleman looked good on a play or two.
Yeah.
Jalen Lloyd looked really, really good on three or four plays.
He took advantage of his opportunities.
He did.
On his three deep balls that went over 50 yards, he looked fast and athletic.
He did. And I think the future is fairly bright with these young kids. I don't think you saw enough progress at them. Here's my issue, and everyone goes, well, they're young, they're freshmen. But we see four-star receivers and come in as freshmen and play all the time. And that's not that uncommon to see in college football. And these guys, I mean, they finally started coming in towards the later quarter of the season. I don't know that we've seen a lot of all of a sudden they were looking better.
Tyler, you're great for the wide receivers.
I mean, I don't really have much to add. D minus, I mean, virtually the exact same thing Derek said. The same reason, same analysis. No disagreements with what Derek said.
Yeah, that's unanimous. I had D minus for this wide receiver group also.
I'm not kidding. If it wasn't for Jalen Lloyd, I would have easily given these guys an F. Easily.
Billy Kemp, I think, did a little bit too, but his injury kind of derailed. But D minus. It's a D minus group. And I said that going into the year. I remember taking a little flack for this. Is that I made a comment about Billy Kemp, and like I was like, yeah, he might be your best wide receiver, but I don't know if he's really a number one. And I think I was proving it right. Like he might have been.
I don't think as hard as you were, you could have envisioned our biggest receiver only having 310 yards.
No, but that goes into the who's more to blame, wide receivers or quarterback play. And I, honest to God, don't know that answer. I
can't give that answer either. But, again, it goes back to how just terrible this offense
is. I never saw our quarterback room. I mean, we've never seen a quarterback room like this. And it was just, I mean, you go back to some of the bad ones, and it just never quite looked like this.
Is there a chance? I mean, not a chance. Was our quarterback room the worst in the Big Ten?
Oh, absolutely.
Is that Iowa? I mean,
I would take Deacon Hill at this point.
I think what we could do running the ball was just gives us an advantage. All of our guys could run. Okay, but what we needed was a guy that just wasn't going to turn the ball over. That's what we really needed to lean on our defense.
Iowa's the only one in the conversation of being worse than us, right?
And I still think they have the edge because, you know, Cade McNamara, the few games he played, I mean.
I don't know. It was bad. I don't know. Let's keep going.
Tight ends. Tyler.
I mean, this might shock you, but I'm going to go D.
What part is supposed to be shocking?
I think a lot of people were like, you know, Fedoni played well, and I mean, he did look okay. He definitely dropped off as the season evolved. You know, about midway through the season, you thought, okay, this guy, he's getting his feet under him for his first meaningful snaps. Towards the back half of the year, he definitely disappeared, and I think some of that is teams started to defend him more. I think he stopped being as open as he once was, and our quarterback's inability to get him the ball. But even if I say Fedoni was a good player, the rest of that room, just non-existent, no factors, offered nothing. You know, they came in the run block from here and there. They didn't really look impressive. We missed Chancellor Brewington lighting people up. So, no, I mean, I think this was another pretty disappointing room, and I'm giving them a D. It's hard to give anything involved in that passing attack anything above a D. So, yeah.
Derek.
I actually went with a C minus on this because I do think Fedoni was. The guy was second on the team in reception, second on the team in receiving yards, first on the team in touchdowns. Borkercher was a bit on a milk carton with five catches for 51 yards. But I think when you lost Gilbert, there was a lot of speculation that he was going to be this great player. And losing him was really killed this room. But I think Fedoni lived up to somewhat expectations. The only reason I didn't drop him lower than the C-minus was because I think it was more on the, I don't know if you want to call it quarterbacks or the play calling where we didn't get these guys involved more. But this was a year that we should have been thrown to Fedoni five, six, seven times a game. We didn't do that.
Well, we probably did.
No, we didn't. I mean, he had some drops, and he had his issues, but...
Well, I mean, and the balls that just couldn't get to him.
Well, I mean, maybe, but it just, I don't know. If you look at his targets game in and game out, he usually had about 2-3 targets a game.
Yeah, so I went D-plus for tight ends. I was expecting a little bit more out of that position, especially Nate Brokerture. I thought he was really going to be, for a guy that was considered as a co-number one with Thomas Fedoni all year long, he was really a non-factor. And, you know, maybe he's a better blocking tight end, which I'm sure he is. But as far as an offensive threat, Brokerture wasn't it. And Fedoni, he did kind of regress there, especially the last three games when we really could have used him to be clutch. He wasn't there. But so D plus, that room has a lot to be desired for, just as long as the rest of the pass catchers, in my opinion. Moving to the offensive line, Tyler.
Yeah, so I'm gonna give them a C. I thought they have become a pretty average offensive line in the grand scheme of things. I think pass protection, namely that left tackle spot, definitely left some to be desired. I mean, we end up finishing on the year giving up the 12th most sacks in the Big Ten, and considering how little we passed, that's not good. But when it came to run blocking, I thought this team did really well. Obviously, we finished second in the Big Ten in rushing yards. A lot of that has to do with the offensive line. I think overall, many of the offensive linemen took a step forward this year. A lot of young guys got some meaningful reps, especially when injuries happen. And I don't know if we made enough deal about how big a deal it was when we lost Ethan Piper, who was quietly maybe our best offensive lineman of the season. Maybe not so quietly, or maybe very quietly. Maybe Justin disagrees completely that Ethan Piper was. But I thought Ethan Piper was having a hell of a year. And I thought the young guys filled in nicely for him. Overall, Bryce Benhart played well. Ben Scott, a lot of these guys, I think, took a step forward. Better offensive line than we've seen the last couple years, I think, as a whole. Not good. Still in the averages, just but C's get degrees.
Derek.
Not bowls.
All right. Well, I'll totally disagree with you on. I'll give him a D. Look, Tyler, you're shocked, right? We gave up 29 sacks on 261 attempts. That's a sack every 9 attempts. Last year, we gave up 33 sacks, but it was on 341 attempts. We at least got 10.3 attempts per. So they digressed in pass protection.
So, Derek, I don't understand. Then how did we run the ball? I mean, if this offensive line was a D.
Oh, here, I'm about to get to you on that. How? Because our stats are skewed by our three non-conference games where we ran 252 yards a game. Because we only ran for 151 yards a game against Big Ten teams, which is good for 74th in the country.
Well, okay, but that's not fair because how many
teams... No, of course it's fair.
Every team puts up yards in their non-conference games.
Dude, we never got over 200 yards against a Big Ten team.
That's a hard accomplishment.
Some of these Big Ten teams weren't good defensively. Illinois was terribly defensively against the run. Michigan State was terrible against the run. We never, even Purdue was absolutely atrocious against the run. And we never put up 200 yards on them. Our stats are completely skewed by getting 320-something yards against Louisiana Tech and getting 230 yards against Northern Illinois and 224 yards against Colorado.
I mean,
this offensive line did not do anything for me that seemed that much better than last year.
Against Wisconsin, in between the tackles, we averaged 5 yards a carry. Like, I'm sorry.
One good game. They had one good game. And that wasn't really a great game. I mean, they had a decent game.
I just think that throwing out the non-conference, like, if you're going to do that, I think for a comparison point, you need to do that to every team. Like, I'm looking at Rutgers right here, and I think we could all agree Rutgers looked pretty good running the ball. I mean, if you look at some of their Big Ten games, they had 34 rushing yards against Iowa. They had 99 rushing yards against Penn State. They had 64 rushing yards against Wisconsin. I think everyone thinks Rutgers had a pretty good rushing attack this year.
Well, we only had 75 yards rushing against Iowa.
That's more than double
what Wisconsin had. All right, so we were better than Rutgers.
Oh, yeah.
Yippee-ki-yay.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of with Derek a little bit here. I gave them a D+. You know, the sacks allowed in the Big Ten, they were ranked 12th. And tackles for loss in the Big Ten, they ranked 10th for allowed. I mean, there's a lot to be desired.
They're still below average.
What's that?
They're still below average.
I know, yeah, they're below average. They're slightly below average, so I give them a D+. There's a lot of times that left side of the line, and I give you that look, Tyler, because that left side of the line, when Turner Corcoran and Ethan Piper, they kind of got it handed to them quite a bit. And maybe...
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if that was Ethan Piper as much so as Corcoran.
You're right, but I mean... I think
here's the thing. Where I'll stick up with Tyler on this to an extent. Ethan Piper was very athletic and was a very good pulling guard.
Yeah.
When he pulled, he was very athletic and got to the guy he needed to in time and got there fast. But when it came to head up blocking, I don't know that he was that great.
Right. But, you know, when both of them went out, I don't know if there was a drop off in the offensive line. There might have been a slight improvement, maybe. Maybe. I don't know. But there wasn't a drop-off. So I can't give Ethan Piper too much credit.
I mean, against Wisconsin, I'm just looking. We didn't give up any sacks. I feel like down the stretch, they were playing some of their best football of the season. I mean,
are we grading them off the last three games, or are we grading off the whole year?
Well, you told me I can't grade them on the non-conference, so I can't grade them on the first three games. I can't grade them off the last four games. What the hell am I supposed to grade them off of?
No, you were the one that told me I couldn't grade off the non-conference. I never told you you couldn't grade.
No, I was. I was giving them credit for those rushing yards. You're saying that I can't count. I think this offensive line was better. I think they are playing better ball down the stretch than they did, especially in pass pro. I will give you pass pro was a weakness. And again, that's why I can't give it higher than a C. I mean, it struggled, and it was namely that left tackle spot all year. We couldn't get figured out. Tight ends own a little bit of that too. I mean, tight ends definitely did not thrive when they stayed in the pass protect. But I mean, I think you guys are being a little bit hard on Donnie and the boys. I think they definitely took a step forward. Can we agree they're better this year than last year?
I'll say they're slightly. Maybe slightly better.
Yeah, I'd say slightly. I don't think there was drastic
improvement. But it was a baby step forward. But, it was not a giant leap.
Okay, baby step forward. I will take that. Is that the only position on offense you could say took a step forward? Because it sure as hell wasn't quarterback. It sure as hell wasn't running back. Sure as hell wasn't wide receiver. And I don't think tight end was better. So the only thing that you could say took any progress year over year was offensive line. And again, I'm not saying it made a cat. Not as good as we're about to talk about with defense. Some of the position groups take a step forward, but I think you're the.
And they were doing it with a lot of 4-year and 5-year players, though. You know, I mean,
but a lot of those guys are coming back next year.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean,
It doesn't make me feel better.
I mean, I don't know. I'm psyched about Ben Scott and Bryce Benhart coming back next year. I think those are two all conference guys next year.
Yeah.
I hope you're right.
Got to figure out that left.
Those are the only two that played fairly well. I mean,
those are my top two guys. That's why I was given a look when you said Ethan Piper was our best offensive lineman.
I think Ethan Piper was in that conversation as best offensive lineman. But again, losing Nuelli, who was okay. I mean, if you're starting to rank guys, I mean, if you look at the guys that started the year, he's probably fourth on that list. So I mean, I think. We need to figure out the guards, but I think the young guys got some meaningful snaps. We'll be good. Bright future for offensive line.
All right, shifting to the defense. Derek, are there any stats on the defense that you want to throw out before we get into it?
Well, I mean, I did happen to look at it, and this is the best defense we've had in points per game since 2010, when we only gave 17.4 points per game. It's the best rushing defense we've had since 1999, when we only gave up 925 yards on the season. It's the best pass defense since 2019, which is actually a pretty decent defense under Shenander there. Total defense is the best since 2009 again. And turnovers, well, I mean, they only got 14 takeaways, which wasn't great. But 2022, last year alone, we had 16 takeaways. So the takeaways could have been a lot better. But overall, the defense was some of the better defenses we've seen in quite some time.
All right. Well, Tyler, is there anything you want to say about the defense overall before we get into the grades?
Let's get into the grades.
All right. Tyler, let's start with you. Defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, most improved position group on the team. Overall, gets a B for me. I thought Nash Utmaker played really well. Ty Robinson, the young guys, came through. Looking at this position group, you know, you saw some shifting of players like Jamari Butler, who I think started the year as Jack and eventually made his way down to defensive end. Cam Lenhart, freshman. Both of them showed they could pressure the quarterback. I think the reason why I'm maybe not a little bit higher on this position group and calling them B is I feel like at times they would disappear. There'd be games they would definitely get behind the quarterback. There'd be games they wouldn't. You know, Derek, Justin, you talked about, like, it seems like we give up that one play, or maybe it was Derek earlier. That big run from Iowa, I think, was completely on the defensive line. They got pinned down. It seemed like that would happen from time to time. Overall, most improved, a lot of positives, but can't quite get above that B because of inconsistency at times.
Derek?
I'm with B+. I do think they get over that hump. I love the depth here. I love Ty Robinson, Nash Utmaker being the anchors of this defensive line. And yet they still didn't have that many snaps to where they got wore out. You talked about Cam Lenhart, who you only wonder what happens if he don't get hurt. And he's such a young, I mean, fresh, true freshman. You love what he does. Ty Robinson had 6 pass breakups in the season. That's pretty friggin' awesome for a defensive lineman. He also had 11 quarterback hurries. I like what this defensive line did. It was when we graded these guys to start the season, I told you that they were probably a D, but I told you there was a lot of potential here. And if there was a group that lived up to their potential, it was this defensive line.
They exceeded expectations by far. I was the same way, Derek. I thought this defensive line group headed in the season, I thought this was going to be one of the worst position groups. I thought offensive line and defensive line were going to be two of the roughest position groups. But defensive line, they shined. I thought they shined. They rotated a lot of guys. We saw some true freshmen come in and make spectacular plays. So they're in a great position moving forward. Nash is a stud. Ty Robinson, he's a stud. I gave them a B+ as well, Derek. There's a lot to like about this. Tyler, I do agree with you. There were some times where they would get gashed, especially late in the year, running the ball. Maybe they got kind of beat up there. But overall, I mean, this was a very positive outcome for a group that I didn't have high expectations for at all.
Yeah.
Nash Utmaker's a top 3 pick in the NFL draft if he comes back next year.
I love that take. Don't know if I agree, but I love that take. Can I
said top 3 round, not top 3.
I thought you meant top 3 play. Okay.
If I said top 3, I'm wrong, but okay. I'm a third round or better.
That's fair. One of the things that you talked about them getting gashed, and I think one of the reasons why it may be a tad bit lower. And again, I think it sounds like we're all pretty much aligned on them. I mean, we're all in the upper B's is that it seemed like they missed some sacks. They would get pressure at times. Fair. And they just couldn't get the quarterback to the ground. And a game that just really brought back was that Wisconsin game. They could not get your boy Tanner Mordecai ground. It seems like he had greased up like that Family Guy skit.
And I told you that guy was good.
He greased himself up, man. I mean, we could not tackle him in the backfield, and it just seemed like there was a couple of hurries that should have been sacks.
I think the fact that Jamari Butler, who played a lot on the defensive line, little second half of the season, had 8.5 tackles for loss. The second guy on the team for tackles for loss was Nash Huttmacher with 8. I mean, when you got two of your guys on defensive line getting that many tackles for loss, it's pretty amazing.
Well, and you know,
especially in a three-man front.
Sure, and you want to talk about a little bit more of a like pro of this defensive line. You know, you look at this the fourth down conversions. I mean, we were third in the Big Ten of giving up fourth downs, and a lot of that had to do was the confidence of when it was fourth and short. We had a lot of confidence that defensive line could stuff you. And Illinois is a game that comes back. That just we won that game because of our defensive line. So, a really good position group. And I'm about to get to another really good position group.
Well, I just want to throw out another name here. Before the season started, Matt Rhule talked about guys that were scout team that would make their way up and they'd come into the game.
You know, I meant to bring him up, but
James Williams came in and he did fantastic at his opportunities that he had. He had a couple of sacks as well. And so I think
he redshirted. So I mean, we got him for like 4 more years. I guess.
Yeah. He redshirted. Awesome. I mean, shoot. Even if you want to go back to what Matt Rhule said, it's guys that are on the scout team that come in, and some of those guys may even start. Well, Chubba Purdy was a guy that was running that scout team and he started. So I thought when Matt Rhule said something along those lines of scout team guys coming to make an impact, I thought that was just a whole bunch of coach speak, but we just talked about two guys that made an impact.
After the first three or four games, I thought for sure it'd all be on the offense. I thought the whole scout team offense would probably be starting.
Right, because of all the injuries that were happening?
Well, between the injuries and the lack of offense.
Yeah, well, they never figured out the lack of offense, I promise you that. All right, let's move on to linebackers, Derek.
All right, again, I went B-plus here. Javon Wright was an absolute massive surprise to me. Had 2 interceptions and 50 tackles. John Bullock was another big surprise. You got what you expected a little bit out of Reimer and Henrich and Bayer. Of all the players, I mean, he kind of tailed off at the end, but there was a point where you were like, man, this Mekhi Bayer is like, he might be the shit. He might be the best linebacker on the crew. Prince Will kind of moved out to linebacker, and he did pretty well as a freshman too. I loved this linebacker core. I went with a B-plus again. I don't know if I said it, but I went with a B-plus.
Tyler?
Yeah, I went A-minus. Derek, you kind of hit a lot of the names, so I won't hit that too much. I just will point out, you know, obviously finishing third in the Big Ten in rush defense. Overall, the pressure we saw with Luke Reimer, even
and what really sucks is we should have been second, but we gave up so many damn rushing yards to Iowa.
That last run did it.
I mean, well, it wasn't just the last run. We gave up 160 something yards to Iowa, which ended up dropping us down to 92 yards per game.
I'm gonna blame it all on the last run.
We were at like 72 yards per game before that game, so.
This rush defense, I think led by those linebackers, was a big part of the reason why the success. Love this defense linebacker core. We'll do this here in the next few weeks, but you want to talk about players that we're going to miss next year. Luke Reimer is probably near the top of that list.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I was going to look this up where he finished all time in tackles in Nebraska. I know he was moving up that list quite a bit.
He didn't finish very high because this year
this year didn't do it, but he still finished top 10.
Probably, but the problem was we just rotated so much.
We did
top 10. What do you mean?
Which is probably
tackles all time in Nebraska.
All time tackles.
I'd be curious on where he lands. He had 48 total tackles this year, but I gave this unit AA. I thought, you know, I had high expectations for this group headed in. And they met my expectations. They were good. John Bullock, he was a pleasant surprise. Luke Reimer did what Luke Reimer does. Javon Wright, he was a nice surprise as well. Nick Henrich, I mean, dang. I mean, how bad does that suck? Tore ACL. I mean, I don't know what that means for him long term. I mean, does he come back? I guess he's going to – would have to, I guess, with that. But can he even play with that ACL? I don't know. That's something to keep an eye on. But, you know, he bleeds Husker red. So, I like this unit. What's
Luke
that?
Luke Reimer finished fourth all-time in Nebraska tackles.
Fourth all-time. Who's the top three?
Top three are number one, Barrett Rude. Number two, Jerry Murtaugh. Number three, Mike Brown.
Oh,
he passed. Wow. He passed Levante David, Dedrick Young, a few others. I think this season, as he moved up the rankings, Nathan Gary.
Wow.
So
good for him. I love Reimer. Love me some Reimer.
Top 10. That's a shocker.
Hey, how many more tackles does he need to
pass to Barrett Rude?
Yeah.
140.
140?
Barrett Rude had a lot of tackles.
Barrett Rude was phenomenal.
Okay, so I went with A. Derek, you would be plus. Tyler, A minus. Defensive backs, Derek.
I won't be here. There were some things that really, really looked good in this defensive back room. I don't think they lived up to the expectations I thought they would be at the start of the season. Tommy Hill really came in and did some really awesome things. Led the team with four interceptions. Luke Gifford led the team with tackles. Quentin Newsome was a force to be reckoned with all season. People just didn't throw the ball his way. Malcolm Hartzog, there we go. He struggled at times this year, a little bit of a sophomore slump for him, I think. But I still think he's a good defensive back. The problem is I think they just gave up too many big plays ultimately overall to get him much higher in a B.
Tyler?
Yeah, I very much the same. Another name you did not mention was Omar Brown. Brown, for a guy who didn't.
He was a pleasant year, surprise, too.
Really
he was,
played some good football. Yeah. Overall, very good. Singleton, we did miss him a little bit down the stretch. I think he was playing really well until he got injured. There was hopes he was going to come back. That didn't happen. Maybe that doesn't.
It was nice getting Marquise Buford back towards the end of the season.
Yeah, he played really good football.
He really did play well.
But the stat that I wanted to highlight with passing is a lot of people say that we gave up a lot of yards, and we did finish ninth in the Big Ten in passing defense, but we finished fifth in pass efficiency. I mean, as you look at the teams that we played against, I mean, we had plenty of interceptions.
We were 41st in pass defense.
So, yeah, I mean, like, we were...
It's not terrible.
We looked a little bit bad to start the year with that Colorado in Minnesota, but this was a unit that I think played better football down the stretch. So yeah, I got him a B.
I have a B as well. I mean, same reasons you guys have. The true star, in my opinion, was Tommy Hill. That dude, he became an elite stud in that secondary. Come on. We gave him a new nickname this year. Take away Tommy. I mean, come on.
Oh, yeah. I love me some Tommy Hill. I'm glad he's coming back next year.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, final position group, and we're just going to group all of this together collectively. It's the special teams. Tyler.
Guys, our offense was worse than our special teams. I will say that. But you want to talk about the most disappointment of all the position groups this we are talking about. It might be special teams. Like, there was not a lot of greatness on the special teams. To highlight some of the deficiencies, punt returns, 13th in the Big Ten. Field goals, 13th in the Big Ten. Punt returns, given up net punting, 13th in the Big Ten.
Oh, we were not dead last?
And no.
Punt returns?
Punt returns and punting, net punting, we were 13th both. So we're second to last in a lot of these stats, guys. Yeah. I'm going to give them a C minus because they did overall made all their PATs. They did actually do something on kickoff returns, get a little bit there. But the real reason that they're not in the D's is because some of the highlight real plays they made, blocking the punt to start the year, two blocked field goals late in the year. Overall, did have, you know, the fake punt. They made a couple really good highlight plays, but the simple things this special teams unit was lacking. Most disappointing position group we're talking about tonight, because I had higher expectations. But yeah, still better than anything pretty much on offense.
Derek?
I also went with a C minus for most of the reasons that Tyler said. But what got me up to the C minus was we had really good coverage on punt returns and kick returns. We didn't give up any really massive plays for the most part. And Tyler, you talked about the block punts and the highlights, but we were second in the nation and in the Big Ten in blocked kicks.
Yeah, that's awesome.
With four of them. The only team that there was like eight teams that had like four, and there was only one team that was ahead of us, and it was Illinois. Illinois had seven blocked punts slash kicks. I don't know how much of it was which or the other, but seven. That's pretty phenomenal. But Nebraska had four of them, and I will take that as far as that part goes every year.
Well, sure.
It wasn't great, but I think the blocks bring it up at least to a C-. I'm with you, Tyler.
All right, so I have a D+. I was excited when Ed Foley was coming aboard. Do you guys remember back in the Minnesota game? There was a 63-yard kickoff return, and we were like, oh, man, we were going to run one all the way back this year. Just wait. We're going to run one all the way back. Never even sniffed it. Punt returns. Kept waiting for Billy Kemp to return a good one. The longest punt return this year was 8 yards. Just 8 yards. The return game was bad. Tristan Alvano, too inconsistent. You know, he was pretty good from inside 40 yards, but anything outside of 40, he was just bad. I don't think he was ready for kickoff or to handle field goal duties this year. Probably should have stuck with Bleak Road.
We should have. I don't understand why we took Bleak Road out of it.
Yeah. Buscini was.
It is what it is.
Buscini was inconsistent. So you got the return game is bad. You have the kickoff duties, or not the kickoff duties, but field goal and punting, not great. The only good thing is the blocks. The blocks were good. We did have some like little gadget plays with fake punt and even like a fake field goal for a touchdown, right? There were some am I making that up? Derek, you made it look. Did we not score a touchdown?
No, I didn't mean to make it look.
Oh, so.
I don't remember the play, though.
Maybe I'm making that up. Okay, well, shoot, maybe this is more deserving of a D+ as it is.
I just feel like
I'm not saying it didn't happen. It was such a bad year. You took the score.
Maybe it's just maybe it's a first down down on that end.
There was a stat going
around. I think it was Timmy Bleak Road. He remembered when Timmy Bleak Road ran the ball. Maybe he didn't.
Yeah.
Maybe he didn't get a touchdown.
He might have got a touchdown on it. I can't remember. But anyway,
there was a stat that went around, and it was like a 2-game stretch. And I don't remember which two games, but we lost both of them. That we had given up a flip the ball about 150 yards of field position and punts. And you think about how bad this offense is. And again, special teams are not the reason we didn't go bowling. I do not want to put this on them. But had the special teams been what all of us expected, we would be going bowling right now. I really do believe that. Because, I mean, it doesn't take much, right? We get one punt return. One punt return for a touchdown in the last four games, we win.
You can't say that, Tyler, when you had quarterbacks throwing interceptions in the end zone in multiple games to give you the chance to win the game.
You can't
talk about a what-if for a punt return you had a quarterback thrown in the fucking end zone.
You know when you lose by three and you miss a field goal about 5 minutes earlier? Like, it could be a little bit on special teams. You can put a little bit of blame there.
Oh my!
You're saying that the special teams, you gave them a D plus.
I gave them a D plus.
They owe nothing with record. They owe nothing.
Here's what I'm saying, they definitely did not help with the record. Special teams is not the reason we're not going bowling. That's what you said.
I said not what I said. I'm saying if we would have been what we expected, we would be bowling. Like our special teams, I gave them C minus. They were fine. We were expecting good to great special teams this year.
I was expecting better than last year.
And we didn't see it.
I think it was about equal.
I mean, I think kicking took regret. I mean, punt return was a wash. Neither year could we get a punt return.
No.
Punting regressed, field goal kicking regressed. So, yeah, if you want to say block punts and kicks change the score enough to make it the same, then that's fine. But I'm just saying, we all thought we were going to be good at special teams this year.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really were.
And if we were, right. I think we would have been bowling.
All right, let's move on. We're already at over an hour here. Let's go.
Okay, so we got some superlatives here. We're going to hand out some individual awards here, and we got some other categories here. So let's kind of breeze through this here. MVP on offense, Derek.
All right, Justin's going to hate this, but I don't care. Tyler's probably not going to like it either. It's Henrik Harburg. He had all five of our wins. He led the team in rushing yards. He led the team in touchdowns. He led the team in passing yards. He led the team in passing touchdowns. He's the only quarterback that had a 7-7 touchdown interception ratio. Everybody else had more interceptions than touchdowns. He had 12 of our 26 touchdowns. So I got to give it to Henrik Harburg.
All right, Tyler.
I don't hate it, Derek. I give him his flyers. Yeah, he played pretty well. Bryce Benhart is mine. Bryce Benhart might be our only chance to have an all-conference type guy. Everyone kind of scoffed at Matt Rhule when he talked about him being an NFL guy. And maybe that still is a stretch. But my God, did he improve. His caliber of play is great. I'm hopeful he's coming back next year. And I don't think that's something I would have said about a year ago. I think I would have laughed at me. So for an offense that I don't think really has much MVPs, I'm going to go with the offensive line, the best one of them.
I have Bryce Benhart as well. I mean, that dude, he was steady. I mean, the strides that he's come from in his career to get where he is today.
I'm sorry, guys, I gotta stop. This is insane. To call him the MVP is insane. Like, you would call him the most improved player, fine. But to call him the MVP of the offense.
Well, Derek, I cannot give
Henrik Harburg. He was 5-7 as a starter. Harburg was 5-3.
I cannot give Henrik Harburg the MVP on offense when I don't think that he is the best quarterback on the team. I can't do it.
He's the only quarterback that won a game.
I don't believe that he's the best quarterback on the team.
Chubba Purdy had every chance to win games, and he didn't do it.
I mean, there's a little bit of competition adjustments there. Let's be fair to Chubba. I think we would all say Iowa is better than Northern Illinois. So, like, let's be a little bit careful about saying that Chubba Purdy was given the same opportunity as Harburg. But, I don't want to take anything away from Harburg, but I think Derek,
Wisconsin was about equal to what Illinois was.
Bryce Benhart played the most snaps on offense. He was reliable. He went out there and played well. I understand that you don't want to give it to the guys up front. Don't want to respect the pipeline.
Way to hate the big uglies up front, Derek.
I mean, come on, Derek.
I don't hate the big uglies up front, but you can't sit here and tell me they're the MVP. It's insane.
There wasn't another option.
The whole thing is we're shining up the shiniest turd, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, I guess there's no wrong answer. I'm not good at evaluating the offensive line. So for me to sit here and tell you that, Bryce Benhart was the best offensive lineman in the Big Ten, so he should be MVP.
Yeah. So truthfully, the MVP on offense came down to the process of elimination. You can eliminate a lot of guys real quick before you get to the offensive line. And then you have to go to the best offensive lineman. And it was Bryce Benhart, hands down.
I was very close to giving it to Emmett Johnson. I was very close.
That would not have been bad.
If you would have
with
said...
With his one touchdown? Oh, wait. Oh, no, I'm sorry. He had two.
You know what? At least he didn't have 10 turnovers.
Fair.
All right, MVP on defense, Derek.
I went with Nash Hutmacher. I've been on this guy. I love this guy. He had 40 tackles, which is amazing for a defensive lineman, and 8 tackles for loss, 4.5 sacks, 4 quarterback hurries, 2 pass breakups, and a block kick to make things even better.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Pretty much. I mean, there's a thousand. The funny thing is defensively you could go with 6 different names for all the other reason, because there was that many good players.
Yeah,
but I went with Nash Hutmacher ultimately.
100% agree with everything you said there, except with the person you went with. I went with Isaac Gifford. Isaac Gifford played the most snaps, had the most tackles, 8 pass breakups, 1 interception. I feel like he very much embodied the defense, made a lot of key plays when he needed to. There's a lot of guys we gave a lot of flowers to throughout the year. I don't think we mentioned him enough. I think if you go back to all the podcasts and you talk about like guys that had good games, like he was never that guy that had the most dominating performance. Nash definitely did at times. Reimer definitely did at times. Tommy Hill did at times. You know, some of the freshmen. But Isaac Gifford was Mr. Reliable, went out there, just did his job consistently. So my MVP.
That's a great one. I had a 1A, 1B. That Isaac Gifford was definitely my 1B. 1A, I got to roll with Luke Reimer. Luke Reimer, he is he's the anchor of this defense. He had another great year again. The things he can do on the field, this dude's going to be missed. That dude's going to leave some huge shoes to fill when he leaves. But, I had to give it to Luke Reimer. But both guys, I mean, that was so great about this defense is you had tons of options for that position. I mean, or for...
You could have got 6 MVP. Or 7 guys. Yeah. You could list is 6 or 7 guys.
And there's no wrong answer for this one. I mean, it's
No. You can't even argue it. I can't say anything bad about what you guys said because they were great picks.
Yeah.
I
did at first. I wrote down like 5
you guys,
or 6.
You guys don't like the big uglies up front, but that's fine.
Shit, another guy that I had written down here, he was more of like an alternate pick, but Tommy Hill. Tommy Hill was another dude.
Ty Robinson was another guy.
I mean, there's so many options.
You could go on and on.
Yeah.
Name a guy that played defense, basically.
Pretty much. All right, let's move to most improved player on offense. Tyler.
Well, I mean, I mentioned that he was a possibility for my MVP, so I'm going to go Emmett Johnson. I mean, this is the first meaningful snaps we saw from him. By definition, he was on the roster last year, so he qualifies. I didn't want to go Bryce Benhart because he could have been it, but I went with him for MVP. So I'm going to give a little bit more love to Emmett Johnson here.
Okay.
It's hard for me to say Emmett Johnson because he never had a carry until this year. So it's hard for me to call him improved because we don't know what we really got out of him. But that's fair. I mean, I'll let you have it. I mean, my most improved on offense is easily Bryce Benhart.
I already gave him my MVP.
I get it. But he was clearly the guy that everybody wrote off that had a good season. I mean, Bryce Benhart was easily the most improved on offense.
Yeah, I'm going to load up Bryce Benhart's trophy case right here because I gave him the most improved player as well. Because this was a guy, how often did Bryce Benhart get shit all over on social media last year? On this podcast, there was not so great words for him last year. But that dude came out and he turned into a stud. He is a stud. And, so most improved player, and he gets my MVP for offense.
Can I change mine?
No! Take a stand!
Chubba Purdy.
Yeah, okay. I will allow it.
To be fair,
he barely was better than last year.
He was significantly
Wait, better. Derek, that no.
Statistically speaking, he was barely better than last year.
Eye test. It's the eye test.
I watched his games. He is
significantly better than last year.
I watched last year's games, and I watched this year's games.
Much I didn't better. Even think he was a Division I quarterback last year.
It was bad.
All right. Let's move on.
All right, top newcomer of the year.
We didn't do most improved on defense.
Most improved player on defense.
And I could have went most improved as a team. It was Tommy Hill.
Tommy,
I don't even know if you guys can argue this.
No, it's Tommy Hill.
The dude had 4 interceptions. He led the Big Ten with 13 passes defended. Was 3rd in the Big Ten with pass breakups. And was 15th nationally in passes defended. So, this is a guy that I completely wrote off. I said, don't ever let him see my field again.
Yeah.
It's unanimous.
Tommy Hill.
Okay, now, top newcomer, which means first-year player in the Husker program on offense. Tyler.
I'm going to go Ben Scott. I mean, he came in. Filled the role at center that we really desperately needed. Played well. Don't really have much else to add. Ben Scott.
Derek?
Well, I tend to agree with you. Ben Scott was really a good pick there. I went with Jalen Lloyd. The guy gave us a deep threat. And it was something we didn't see all season long. And for him to come in and make a deep threat, I thought was huge. So I just went with him just to be different, I guess.
No, you're not different. I mean, that's the correct choice here. Jalen Lloyd is the.
I thought Ben Scott was probably the easiest answer, but
no, Jalen Lloyd is the correct answer. He gave you the most possibility. He gave you the most hope at that wide receiver position. He is dynamic. He's electric. He does everything that you want to see in a wide receiver in this offense. Huge deep threat. He is easily the top newcomer. The only thing that we should have done is seen more of Jalen Lloyd. Because had we seen more Jalen Lloyd, that wide receiver room would have been popping. He only had 6 catches, but 3 of them were hugely.
He had awesome. A lot of drops. So.
He had 6 catches!
I don't care. I mean, Ben Scott is good. He's an okay choice. He's a good backup for top newcomer of the year. But he had far too many penalties. For my liking. But yeah, if you want somebody to ignite an offense, it starts with Jalen Lloyd. Jalen Lloyd is the wide receiver you build an offense around.
You know what? This is Flowers time. I'll let you have it. I don't know if I agree with that. I thought this was like another Tommy Hill situation.
Should have been if you would have taken Jalen Lloyd. But no, you got to be wrong. All right, top newcomer on defense. Tyler, avenge yourself.
I'm going to go Cam Lenhart. Came in. I remember there was a time where like, ooh, who's going to start him or Gunnarsson? There was no doubt he was the guy. Constant pass threat, especially at the beginning part of the season. Looked unblockable. Still made great plays. Had one big play against Iowa. A lot of people you could have picked here too. There's a couple people you could have picked here. But I'm going to go with him. I mean, I'm so psyched for his future at Nebraska.
Derek.
I really, really agree with you. And this is, again, same thing with the defense from before. Like, you could pick quite a few different names here. I mean, there were so many newcomers that played quite a bit of time. I mean, I'm going to go with Prince Uman-Milan, though. Like, he kind of started off slow, but as the season progressed, he really came on strong. I think he played better through more of the games than Cam Lenhart did. Cam Lenhart was great, and it's a great pick, Tyler. His injury slowed him down. And after his injury, he never came back to what he was to start the season. And so that was the only reason I went with Prince Will. As I think he came out. He finished stronger.
So this is so interesting. Both guys that you just named, great. 1A, 1B. I went with Cameron Lenhart, but let's rewind for a second back to the start of the season when we had guys like MJ Sherman or Chief Borders coming
Elijah,
in.
Elijah
Judy. I mean, there were some like heavy hitting names that were coming into this defense that we were all stoked about. And all of them, I mean, none of these guys were even considered for top newcomer.
No, but I thought MJ Sherman played well at times. I mean, you know.
Elijah Judy was on a milk carton. Yeah, like, he played some snaps. He played. But he did not do what I think anybody expected him to do. He was like a five-star out of high school, right?
The problem with, I mean, again, a lot of the problem with these guys was the competition. Like, you can't point to any one of them being like, man, I'm shocked they didn't get more playing time. Because the people in front of them were so good.
Yeah, I tend to agree with that, yes.
I mean, there was no, I mean, if you want to point out like a guy that you could probably maybe say that about that, Corey Collier, I thought maybe a lot of people had a little bit of hype around, and at times their secondary got banged up, there might have been an opportunity, but like Judy, like, who are you going to play him over? Like, you're going to take Nash out for more snaps? Like, no, I mean, it's just...
Hell no. You ain't taking Nash out for nothing.
Yeah. But I just think MJ Sherman, and I think Chief Porter's, I mean, these guys...
Chief Porter's definitely... I don't even think
the coaches kind of hyped him up. I don't think anybody really expected him to be when he came from Florida, everybody was kind of like, oh, okay, this is this mid tier recruit. Nobody expected him to be a lot until those coaches started talking about him, but he really did nothing.
But MJ Sherman is what we expect. I mean, he underperformed some expectations, but
yeah.
I still thought he was a good guy. I'm excited to have him back next year, hopefully.
Oh, absolutely. So, yeah. I'm excited to have all these guys back.
Let's rapid fire these next two. Best win, Tanner?
There's two choices here to me, and I'm going to go with Illinois. I'm going to give the credit to on the road. I think going into the year, that was a game I had us losing. It was a Friday night. I was in attendance. And the way we won that game by out toughing Illinois, I'm going to give the edge on that one, but right there.
Best win over a 5-7 team. All right, Derek.
And Tyler, you're not wrong on that pick. The circumstances coming out of that Michigan game, that was a good pick. I thought the season was done.
Right,
like,
before the bye. It was a short week.
It was one of my choices. I also had Purdue in there just because I thought we played probably our most complete game against Purdue. But I think ultimately you have to go with Northwestern because they're one of the few teams that had a winning record.
Yeah. Mine's Northwestern as well. It may not have felt significant at the time, but reflecting back on the season where they were, David Braun, he's going to be most likely the Big Ten coach of the year. They kept fighting. We saw signs of it, and they just kept fighting, and they won 7-5. I mean, this is a team that won one game last year. I mean, that was ended up being a really good win. Worst loss, Tyler.
I'm going to go Maryland. And this is a game that I will say that there was a lot. I mean, we talked about tough choices on defense. Every one of our losses was heartbreaking and backbreaking in its own way. But this should have been the Chuba Purdy game. Like, the Chuba Purdy 2-minute drive, throwing that interception at the end, like, is as gut-wrenching of, like, what could have been as there was. Maryland at the time was struggling mightily. This was our bowl game. I mean, that should have been it. Lots of choices, but I'm going to go Maryland.
Had we played Chuba Purdy earlier, we would have won. All right, Derek.
Again, Tyler's not completely wrong. You could pick any of the last four games and probably be right. You could also pick Michigan, which we looked like we didn't even belong in the same field as them. Ultimately, I went with Michigan State. I said it during the Michigan State preview. If we don't meet Michigan State, there's a good chance we don't go bowling. It was one of the last games I thought we would be favored in. We did end up favored in Iowa, which I still don't understand. But I think you needed to pick up bowl eligibility against Michigan State, who was just struggling and not a good team at the point at that point. And so I think Michigan State's got to be the biggest loss. Was an inexcusable loss.
Yeah, lots to choose from. We played five teams with a winning record this year. Just five teams. So there's no reason why we should not have been bowl eligible. But my worst loss is Iowa, the very last game. That was a game that was just set up for us to win. Bowl eligibility was on the line. It's at home. It's senior day. I mean, and we shit the bed. The way that we shit the bed, that one, I've become so accustomed to losing football games, it really doesn't fucking sour me. But that game right there, I was outside smoking a cigar, watching on my patio with the big screen outside. And when that game was over, I felt defeated. I felt defeated. I didn't even finish my cigar, put that baby out, went back inside, pouted, and took a nap. That's what I did. That one really bothered me. And, you know, when you're 5-7, a lot of losses don't bother me like that. I can just, like, roll with the punches and go to the next game or next game on TV. But that one really soured me. So that is the worst loss because, personally, I felt like I was kicked in the nuts hard. And so as we're wrapping up our season reflection here, was year one under Matt Rhule a success, Tyler?
No. I mean, it wasn't. I mean, it was a game away from being a success. Like, what you would have wanted to see year one, Matt Rhule went through a checklist of stuff that he wanted to see in year one. And I'm not going to go through and rehash stuff we talked about in the spring, but he talked about teams that played better in the fourth quarter. Well, in the last two games of the season, we scored 6 points in the second half. He talked about good special teams and teams that didn't beat themselves. Nope. None of the things that Matt Rhule would have defined as a success going into the year were any of the attributes of this team. This team should have been bowling. It was a game away from being a success because it had a low bar, the worst schedule in a decade to be and we couldn't get it done. A lot of the Scott Frost one possession, losing games that you should have won, reamed this ugly head again. There's a lot of work ahead for the staff.
Derek, was year one a success under Matt Rhule?
No, I don't think you can call it a success. I also don't think you can call it a failure. I expected about a 6-6 season. They only missed it by one game. But I think the reason you can't call it a success absolutely is because you talked about it. We only played five teams with a winning record. So, I mean, that tells me that you probably should have at least been able to beat seven of these teams.
So well, I can't six at a minimum, right?
Or six at a minimum, yes.
Yeah.
So I can't call it a success, but I wouldn't go as far as to call it a failure either.
Yeah, we lost to teams with a losing record that we lost to. Minnesota, 5-7. Colorado, 4-8. Michigan State, 4-8. I mean, three teams.
I'll say this. That Colorado team at 4-8 was a different team when we played them than what they are now.
I still don't care. That was a bad loss.
It might be a bad loss, but they were a much different team than what they are now.
But we were their biggest margin of victory all season. I mean, they obviously lost more than they won.
They got all their hype following their win to Nebraska.
They did.
I don't know what
TCU
finished.
Because they steamrolled us. Because yeah. They steamrolled us. Like they were like, holy crap.
After beating a top 15 team in TCU.
Yeah, what did TCU finish?
Which I get it. I get it, but their confidence level was far and above what we were.
Here's where I would disagree on the failure. Failure is such a strong word, but where I would point to that way is you go undefeated in October. You have all the momentum ahead of you. Like, everything is there, and you have a winnable schedule. I
get it, but the reason I can't call it a failure is because this is about what we expected in year one.
I know, but the way that it played out was just different.
Was disappointing.
TCU yes. Finished 5-7, by the way. No, this is why the season was not a success. Going undefeated in October, four winnable games to end it. and you could not get to bowl eligibility. And there was a lot of reasons why. And a lot of them had to come down with coaching decisions, clock management, game management, decision to play players and not play players. It came down to coaching. If there's anybody to blame for this season, and one thing that Matt Rhule will do, he owns everything. He yes. doesn't want to blame any players. He does not throw any players under the bus. He always says it's on him. And this one is on him, and he will own it because he is a high character guy like that. But I think there's, when he reflects with his coaching staff, I know that they know that there's a lot of things that they could have done differently to get us to bowl eligibility. They know this. We know this. They know it.
You know what they know? And I truly believe this. It comes down to missing on Jeff Sims. Like, this season started and ended that you could have picked in a lot of transfer quarterbacks to bring in. And I'm not saying Chubba Purdy, because we – and Harbaugh.
I'm not going to tell you that's a terrible take. But again, I'm going to go back to, I don't think we are a quarterback away from being a 9-win team.
I'm not saying 9 wins, but were we a quarterback away from bowl?
From maybe 6, maybe.
No, we're a quarterback away from 7 or 8 games.
Sure. Whatever Easy. That number is, it's more. We would have won more if we, and I hate to put it on Jeff Sims, because I don't think he was this bad coming in, but it, like, the result isn't shocking.
But it's so funny because Justin absolutely just tried to destroy me in the preseason when I talked about this could be an issue with Jeff Sims.
Well, and I think I was on that.
He had too. A problem with turnovers before he got here.
Yeah.
And I didn't think he fixed it. I did not expect it to get as bad as he did, but it was an issue before he got here.
I think that you look at this team. I mean, this defense took such a step forward. If you could have just had Adrian Martinez, my boy Adrian. Like, this is a bowling team. Oh, God,
we need to get out of here. Tyler's drunk.
We have one more thing.
Yeah, Derek, did we improve from last year?
This is a tough question for me because I'll say yes because we won an extra game. But you could also argue that it was a lot easier of a schedule. The defense definitely improved. The offense definitely took a huge step back. Special teams probably about the same. So ultimately, I guess, I mean, I can't pick that we're the same as last year. So just that extra win, I'll say, yes, we were better than last year, but not by much.
Would this year's team beat last year's team?
I would say yes, because I think this defense is good enough to slow down the pass. I don't know. Trey Palmer may have lit up this defense for all I know.
Tyler, did we improve from last year, and would this team have beat last year's team?
Tough both of them, but I'm going to say yes and yes. I think we did improve. I think this defense took such a step forward that as bad as our offense was, and even though our special teams, I think, took a slight step back, doesn't overwhelm it. And, yeah, I think that this defense would have caused some major problems for last year's offense.
Really?
I just think that – I think this defense was the deal. I think it was – it again, the
– We might have had 3 or 4 sacks on them.
What might be the storyline next time we record is Tony White might be gone. And that's a real possibility.
Got it. And I hope not, but I think it's probably going to happen.
It's on the table, right? And if it's not this year, it seems like it's certainly in the next couple of years. And it sucks that we wasted one of these years with Tony White with this awful offense.
Do you think Casey Thompson and that Casey Thompson Trey Palmer combination, along with the 2022 Anthony Grant, would have lit up this defense a little bit more?
I don't know, but I wish I would have had that mix. I wish we'd have that offense with this defense.
Oh, God. We'd definitely be bowling.
We'd definitely be bowling. We might be top 10.
We might be representing the West.
We would definitely be representing the West. I do believe that. All right, let's get out of here, guys.
All right, Derek has to pee, obviously. So he's been saying this for a while. All right, stop pinching it, Derek. All right, special thanks to our producer, Connor Russell, for putting this audio together for us. Be sure to follow the Husker Cuzcast on Twitter, at Husker Cuzcast. Like us on Facebook. Look for episodes anywhere you get your podcasts. Hit that subscribe button, and don't forget to rate and review. On behalf of Derek and Tyler, we want to thank everybody for listening. As always, go Big Red.